Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smards, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message.
Let's jump into the Word today. Today we're starting a series on stewardship. How many people have stuff in their life? How many people have money? Well, that's one of the reasons you don't have money, because you're like, I ain't got no money. Y'all got finances? Do you live in a home? Do you have time? Has God given you a talent or an ability? Has God poured into you in some way, shape, or form? If you fit in one of those categories that I just said, then it's our responsibility to be a good steward of what God has given us. And we're going to search the Scripture over the next few weeks, learning how to be that good steward. We're not called to be bad stewards. Trust me, I've been there before. I made poor decisions, and it cost me because I wasn't a good steward of what God was giving me, or the door that God was allowing me to walk through. I stewarded it wrongly, and therefore it didn't turn out the way that I expected or wanted it to, or even the way God had intended it to, because I had a choice and my hand was involved in what was going on. But I believe after this series, we're going to have a better understanding of how to be better stewards. Better stewards. And when I say stewards, it's just not money. Okay, we're going to talk about money, but not today. I'll let you know when, so you can get all uncomfortable for about 3-4 minutes. And then we're going to bring it down, because we're not going to make you feel guilty. We're not going to, you know, take 3 or 4 offerings. But the reality is, we all have finances. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about what the Bible declares to be good stewards of it. We're going to talk about the words or the promises that God has given you. How many of you have a word or promise that God gave you that you're waiting to see come to pass? Well, in the midst of waiting for it, we have to learn how to steward what God gave us, what He showed us. How many of us, you know, realize that we say this, well, I don't have enough time to get that done. Anyone ever been there before? Yeah, I know I've been there before. And so, you know, we need to learn how to be good stewards of our time, of our homes. We live in a home. Some of us are married. Some of us, you know, we have kids. And so we have to learn how to be good stewards of our home life and the relationships that we have there. So these are some of the things that God is going to show to us and reveal to us how to be good at, as well as our talents, because I believe every one of us has a talent that God has given us. The question is, are we stewarding that talent properly? Are we using it to its full potential the way God wants us to use that particular talent? And so let's go to the Word real quick today, to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and we're going to jump into the Scriptures here. I want to read a few verses to you. This is actually the passage where a man gives his servants some money while he goes and he journeys, and they have some responsibilities with it. And let's read and see how this whole thing unfolds and how it relates to our lives as being a steward for the kingdom of God and for God. And it says in verse 14, and it'll be on the screens, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and entrusted them his goods." Can you say entrusted? God has entrusted us with things. He's entrusted you and I with things, and we're called to steward them. And he says, "He entrusted his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And to every man according to his ability." He gave it according to his ability. And it goes on and says, "And immediately he took his journey. And he had received, and he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them in, or traded them, and made another 5 talents. So also he who received 2 gained another 2. But he who had received 1 went, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." 3 people, 3 examples of stewarding what their master gave them. We see 2 did something a certain way, and we see 1 that did something totally different. It says, "After a long time, the master returned, and he who had received 5 talents came, and he brought the other 5 talents and said, 'Master, you have entrusted me.'" Can you say entrust me? You've been entrusted. Can you say entrusted? God has entrusted us with things. We need to understand that. He's given things into our lives that he entrusted us to do something with. And the servant says to his master, you've entrusted me with 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more. And his master said, well done. You are good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few, and I will make you ruler over many. Enter the joy of your master. And he who received 2 talents came and said, master, you've entrusted me with 2 talents, and I have gained 2 more. And the master said to him the same thing, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few, and I will make you ruler over many. Enter the joy of your master. And then the one who received the 1 came to the master and said, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not will. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Now this is a different response. And he responds like this. He says, you wicked and slothful servant. Wow, that's pretty heavy. That's not like all lovey-dovey like, you know, we would expect, right? Well, what he's saying really to him is that you didn't steward that 1 talent that I gave you properly. And he actually calls them slothful and lazy. And so it says he takes the talent away and he gives it to someone else. So, Father, I pray that this day that your word would become revelation to us as we strive to be the best steward that we could be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Stewardship is a topic that I think is so important for us, especially more so in the culture that we live in. How are we handling what God has been giving us? How are we functioning and moving and releasing what God is pouring into us? Are we good stewards? Are we the best stewards that we can be? And so we need to realize that in this passage, this is, you know, some symbolism of God in us and how God pours into us and expects things to be done a proper way. But what I love about this passage also is it says that the master, you know, divided the talents according to their ability. See, sometimes I would go through life and say, I can't handle, God, what you're giving me. But the reality is God never gives me more than I can't handle. He gives me what I can handle. It's just a matter of me being able to steward and handle what God has given me. And so I needed to say that today, because sometimes we stop right there then, and then we throw our hands up and we quit and we give up. We don't move forward the way God wants us to move forward. We're like, I can't handle this, I'm out. No, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. He will be there with you. He has given us a helper. He has given us strength. He has given us those things needed, which is the Holy Spirit. And so he pours these talents out to these men to do what is needed with them. And so when we talk of stewardship, what we have to understand is the basic definition of what a steward is. Okay? A stewardship is very simply this. It's utilizing and managing all of God's resources, provisions, and gifts that he has been given to us. Let me repeat that. Stewardship is the utilization or utilizing and managing all of God's resources, provisions, and gifts that he's given us. Can you say, I'm a manager? You are a manager of what God has given you. Some of us want to be managers, don't we? We're at work, we're like, you know what? I want to get off this line. I want to get into management. Well, the reality is you are in management. You are managing or a manager in the kingdom of God. You are managing and overseeing and utilizing and making sure the provision, the gifts, the talents, all the resources that God has poured into your life is being used efficiently, one, to build the kingdom of God. It's not about being blessed in the sense of it's all about me. No, it's about doing the will of the Father. It's about being a blessing to other people and how God would flow through you. And in the process of all that, God is going to bless you greatly. So we have to realize that I'm a manager in the kingdom of God. So you can go home today, and you can go on your computer, you can print a name tag, your name, whatever you call yourself, and say manager, and then wear it to work tomorrow morning. And you're walking, you're like, manager, what do you manage? I'm managing the kingdom of God. Why? Because we're stewards. We're stewards of what God has given us, and we have to manage it properly. How many people know that if someone owns a business and they allow someone to manage their business and they manage it poorly, what happens usually? Two things: they get fired or the business fails, right? Well, we're not called to manage poorly in the kingdom of God. We're called to manage properly and efficiently. We're called to manage in the way that God has created and designed for us to manage, in a way that things grow and not decrease. We have to understand that. So managing is part of stewardship. Stewardship is knowing that what we're managing comes from God. See, I have to realize that my money is from God. It's from God. I have to realize that my family is from God. I have to realize that this church is from God. I have to realize that every minute and second day of the week and of the month of the year is from God. I have to realize that the gifts and the talents that God has poured into me as an individual, they're from God. And so therefore, knowing that it comes from God, I have to know how to manage it properly, because that's what stewards do. Or biblical stewards is one who's going to be a diligent worker and a faithful manager of what God has given them. See, a biblical steward is one who's going to be a diligent worker, and he's going to manage faithfully those things that God has given and entrusted to him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to have the basic understanding of stewardship. Real simple. Not real deep. Not real big words. Simplistic. There's four components that I believe are important for us to understand about stewardship. These four components consist of ownership, responsibility, accountability, and blessing. Now, y'all heard blessing the highest out of all those three right there. Blessing, like, jumped out and slapped you in the face. Like, yeah, blessing, bless. But to get the blessing, to get the reward, to get the outpouring of God's presence, we need to realize who owns it. We need to realize that we have a responsibility and an accountability in our management of handling God's business and what God has entrusted to us. See, let's first look at ownership. We can't get this one wrong, because if we don't understand this concept, this biblical truth, everything else won't line up. Ownership. We must realize that God owns everything. We can go all the way back to Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As the creator of everything, God has absolute control and right and ownership over everything. I can't miss this point. See, sometimes we think it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. When I say it's mine, 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 what I'm saying is I'm selfish. That's just me. I don't know about you, when it's like mine, you know, I'm going to go home today and I'm going to look at my living room and I'm going to find the clicker and I'll be like, this is mine for the next 3.5 to 4 hours. Do not touch it. Selfish, right? Selfish. Absolutely selfish. But if I take that mindset into my finances, into the gifts that God has given me, into the opportunities that God presents before me, I'm missing the mark, because they're really not mine. They're God's. And a steward is a manager of something that's not his. And if we're going to be stewards of God, we must realize that God, the creator of heaven and earth, has created everything, but he owns everything, including my life. See, the Bible says in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The earth and everything in is his. It goes on and it says, the world and all its people belong to him. See, the Bible says in Leviticus that the land is his, and that we're just aliens and tenants. Haggai says the silver and the gold is his. 1 Corinthians says that I and you are not our own, but we were bought with a price. Therefore, we are his. And that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, we need to understand in stewardship, the first thing is that it's not mine. I'm just called to manage it. I'm called to tend to it. We had a garden this summer. I didn't have a garden this summer. My daughter had a garden this summer. She goes, Dad, let's do a garden. I'm like, nope. No way. She's like, why? I said, because I don't want to go out there and have to weed it, water it, tend to it, because that's not what I want to do. I want to go buy that piece of lettuce. I want to buy the carrot. I don't want to do all that's needed to make sure that we get it. But what's amazing is that when you tend to it, it wasn't mine, but I still helped out. She's got me wrapped. I'd stand out there with the hose, watering, tending, pulling some weeds here, putting stuff around that smelled really bad so the rabbits wouldn't eat it and the deer wouldn't come in, and I tended to it. I was managing something that wasn't mine. It was my daughter's. But you know what the blessing was? The cucumbers, the big green peppers, all those things, the lettuce, fresh lettuce, never had before, was amazing. Because I tended to it as a steward of something that's a simplistic understanding. I didn't own the garden. God owns everything, but my daughter was the owner of it. She was the one that, you know, in the sense of took care, but I stewarded it and it helped. And stewardship should always start with the knowledge that everything that I have is His. It's a privilege to be a manager, though. It's an honor to be the manager in the kingdom of God and taking care of God's business. We need to understand that. We need to understand, even like in Genesis, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, right? And all of a sudden God creates the heaven and the earth, and all of a sudden God places Adam and Eve in the garden. What was their job? Their job wasn't to lay in the sun and get a suntan. Their job wasn't to ride the animals around like, you know, they're at a circus or at some giant carnival thing. Their job was to tend the garden. What does that mean? Steward. It means take care of. It means to care for all that was before them. And God laid it out. And so we can go all the way back to the beginning of time and realize that God has called men and women to be stewards of what He has given. And what He has given is a multitude of things depending on who you are. And we're all given different things in our lives to tend to manage. It's a matter of will we manage them and steward them the way that God wants us to and become the good steward that God has called us to. I think of the church. I don't own this building. I don't own the property. I don't own the sound equipment. I don't own the microphone that I'm wearing. I don't own the table that my Bible and computer. I don't own the car. I don't own nothing in the building. Well, except for some personal things that I might have brought in there in my office. But I don't own anything here. God owns it all. God called it to come into fruition. We're just managers of the call here. I'm called to manage this place. I'm called to steward what goes on this platform. I'm called to lead and to steward what comes off of the platform. I'm just managing. And I'll manage until the Lord says it's time for someone else to manage. So we have to understand that. It's people like, you own the church. I'm like, no, I don't. Like, yes, you do. You're the pastor. I don't own the church. You own it. I don't own it. I don't own it. God owns it. I've had have the privilege of being called to steward it to the best of my ability. And just like in life, there are times when we may not steward it properly. But God's called me to steward, and I have to steward according to three things. One, our founding scripture, that we manage this place based off what that founding scripture says. Two, off the mission, and three, the vision of this church. So you have to manage according to the word that God spoke to Cell Towns, that we would be a Spirit-filled church, that we would be a lighthouse in the Cell Towns, that we would give life, that we would pray for healing and wholeness for people in their lives. We would pray for restoration, that we would have a time where we would worship God uncompromised, that we wouldn't worry about what other people would say or think. I have to make sure that we're doing that accordingly, so I have to manage the word, the promise, the prophetic utterances that were given off the founding scripture. If I go off of that, I'm not managing it, I'm not stewarding it right, and I don't own any of it. I'm just called to manage it. And that's what happens with our time. That's what happens with our money. That happens with our resources. That happens with our relationships. That happens with the dreams and the vision that God has given you. We just have to manage them properly. We have to steward them accordingly. Which takes us to the next point, which is responsibility. That we're responsible for what God has given us to steward. I'm responsible for my house. I'm responsible for my family. I'm responsible to make sure that I'm doing and raising my children according to the word of the Lord. All I could do is manage it and hope and pray and believe that what was instilled will take. I'm called to manage it. I'm called to steward over it. See, I have that responsibility. And when I speak of responsibility, I talk about an obligation to do the right thing. That's what responsibility is, you know. It's the obligation of doing the right thing. And sometimes the right thing isn't the popular thing. It isn't the thing that it gets you the most hand claps, right? It doesn't get you the most, you know, oh, that was great. Oh, no. Sometimes the right thing can go against what everything in culture is saying. Sometimes the right thing can make someone not happy with you. But I would much rather do the right godly thing than please man. See, because I'm going to talk about it in a second, because I have the responsibility to do it this way, because not only do I have the responsibility, I'll be accountable for how I stewarded it. See, it's all God's anyways. I just have to manage it properly. What are you stewarding? Do you understand the importance of your responsibility in stewarding what God had given you? When I speak of responsibility, I'm talking about having the ability to take care of and control over. It means that I'm going to report to my supervisor, right? If someone owns a store, there's an owner. And if you're in management, you have the responsibility of going to the owner and telling the owner what's going on in the business, telling them how things are good and how things may not be so good, what needs to be changed, what doesn't need to be changed. It's part of stewarding, is having the responsibility as the manager of going to the owner and sharing and being, you know, before them, talking about what's happening. Do you see how this lines up with the things of God? That God has given me things to steward. And so in my prayer time, in my reading time, in my journaling time, I'm going before God saying, God, this just is working this way or not that way. Is there something that needs to change? Is it me? Is it how I'm doing it? What's happening, God? What do I need to do? Stewardship, part of it is responsibility. And we have to understand that we're responsible for what we have and what God has given us. We're responsible. We're responsible. Because we've been trusted with what God has given us. See, the Bible says that we should work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And that's where responsibility kicks in. Because, you know, we can do things to please man, but if it's not stewarding it the right way, it's not going to work. But if we do it as we're working unto the Lord, pleasing God only, that's how it should be done. It's unpopular. I had conversations with my kids. They were unpopular conversations. Because I had to lay it down, you know what I mean? Like, yo, I understand where you're at because you're like 15 and you think you know everything. You know nothing, son, daughter. You know nothing. I don't know anything and I'm 50 years old, okay? But here's what the Word of God says. And this is the framework of which we do this. Or this one. Man, I really want that. We're going to buy that. We're going to buy that. We're going to buy that brand new boat because it's marked down. It's the end of the season. No, it's not going to work because I'm not stewarding the finances then with responsibility. Because if I buy the boat, then I can't put food on the table. If I buy the boat, I can't pay the heating bill that's coming up. If I buy the boat, I can't put shoes on my children. If I buy the boat, I can't tithe properly. If I buy the boat, do you see how the responsibility, how it all flows in and out? So I understand that responsibility is a part of stewardship. Y'all getting something? I know this is very basic. We gotta start somewhere. I think of responsibility even here on Sunday mornings. We had a conversation this morning, Kristen and I, before our 8:30 service. And we were joking around, and I says, gosh, I hope, you know, God gives me a word to preach today. I got 4 stairs to get to the top to get the word. You know, that's not being responsible. See, I have people that they're like, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I put a lot of time in prayer to make sure that what I speak from this platform is right, according to what God wants to be spoken this day. Because I'm responsible for every word that I say. I'm responsible for every action that takes place in this platform. And I have a holy fear of God. I have a holy fear of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I have a responsibility to make sure that I am sharing the gospel message of what God wants to say to the congregation in the due season that it should be released. This series I wanted to do in the beginning of spring. But when summer hit, the Lord was like, let's talk about the book of Acts. Let's go through and learn about what took place in Acts, because we are the church. We should be a representation of the church in the book of Acts in today's culture. So we took stewardship, and I just kept waiting and praying every week, God, what's next? What's next? What's next? Because I have a responsibility, and it's important that we realize that, because I don't want to ever do anything that doesn't bring glory to God in any way, shape, or form. And so we're all called to manage it, and we're all called to make sure that we're doing it in a responsible manner, you know. And then the third thing is accountability. This is the tough one. No one wants to be accountable, right? If you don't believe me, look everywhere around us. No one wants to be accountable for anything. Here's the response. What does it really matter, man? It doesn't affect you. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing my way. Well, because you just threw a rock through someone. Doesn't matter, man. Whatever. No one wants to be accountable. We have to understand with stewardship, we're accountable for those things that God gave me. We're accountable for it. We're accountable for the gifts. We're accountable for the dreams. We're accountable for the finances. We're accountable for the resources. We're accountable for everything that God pours into us. We're accountable. And the Bible gives a clear example of that, you know, as you read through what we're supposed to be doing and not doing about our accountability. Accountability is accepting the responsibility of what God's entrusted us with. It's accepting the responsibility of what God, and it's being able to, what I wrote here, it's being able to offer, to give, or justify our actions and our decisions. That's accountability, that we're going to give an account for what we did. Do you realize the Bible says that each one of us shall give an account to him, to God himself? You and I are responsible for every action and every reaction. We're accountable for every word, for every thought, the word talks about it. And one day we will stand before the Lord, and we will give accountability for what we did. I will give accountability for today's message before the Lord. I will give accountability for my craziness at 1:35 if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing on the field, okay? I'll give accountability for pure insanity in my house. We're accountable for it. We're accountable for it because it's part of our stewardship. God gives us a word. I'm accountable to steward that word. God gave us a word that we're supposed to go on missions, but I don't go on missions. So what's going to happen is I'm going to give account of why I didn't go on missions, why I ignored what God wanted to do. Do you see what I'm saying here? So we're accountable. Let me break it down in simplistic terms. So about 2 weeks ago, how many people do not like taking back bottles? Anyone not like taking back bottles? Okay, how many people before they counted them for you used to despise taking back bottles? Oh, y'all love taking back dirty, slimy cans and bottles so it's dripping down your arms, right? Well, I never liked taking back cans or bottles. And so I remember in youth ministry, the kids would come over because I didn't like that. You pick up the can out of the bag that was all sticky that someone thought was a garbage can but threw garbage in it, but it was your bottle return can, and you'd grab it and all of a sudden it's just dripping down your arm, and now you got to touch a dirty machine and then hope that it doesn't kick it back into your face, right? You know what I'm talking about? So I would have all the kids would come over, college kids, and, you know, they weren't working or part-time jobs. They had cars and insurance. I'm like, yo, you want gas money? They're like, yeah. I'm like, take those bottles back. Well, so the other day, now that they have where they count for you, I'm all about taking bottles back. So I had load up my cars with my 3 bags of bottles, and I head out to Angola. I'm driving down the road, and as I'm leaving Lakeview, I start to think, what I'm going to spend my $12 probably on. Am I going to stop on the way back and grab a taco and a Diet Coke? Am I going to, you know, I'm spending all $12 before I even have it in my hands, okay? And I'm getting excited about it. That's not normal. That's like not, I'm thinking, I'm crazy. I'm thinking about this, what's going to happen. And so I pull into the can place. And as I pull in, I look up, there's a guy standing there. And the Lord says, give him your money. Who are you talking to? Just give me your money. But God, didn't you hear the conversation I had in my head with myself on the way here? That I was going to stop for a jumbo, and I was going to get a side order of nachos and a diet. God, you didn't hear that conversation, that desire, that want, that excitement, that you know it, my taste buds are already giving it to me, and now you're telling me to give him my money? But see, knowing that my money isn't my money, it's God's money, zero hesitation. And it took me a while to get here, and it will take you, some of you, a while to get there too. Zero hesitation. I'm like, okay. But he says, don't give him your bags, give him your money. So I had to get out of the truck, unload all my bags into the store, dump them on the table, and now they don't even take the non-refundables. They make you take them back. So now I'm touching dirty, nasty bottles, putting them back in this bag. I get the money. I go outside where no one is. And I'm like, I need to bless you. And I knew he needed the money. Two reasons, visual and also because God said. Because as I looked at him, he had a homemade wagon train set up. It was like a wagon, a stroller, a baby buggy, a two-kid running stroller, and they're all connected. So when he pushed the first one, they all were like a train behind him. And you could tell that he would collect on the road all the cans and keep bringing them back and bringing them back to get money. And see, I sat there that day and God said, listen, you need to give him your money. Now, realizing that it's not mine, I now have a responsibility and accountability to steward what God had given me, because God gave me the finances to buy the drink. God made way to have that ability to buy the pop and the water. God gave me that ability. And God gave me the ability then to manage that money, but now I have it in my hand again. Now it's really not mine because it came from God, because everything that I have is God's. And so I realized that, and now I have a responsibility to manage what God is asking me to manage properly. It was measly $12 or $13 in one second. It wasn't hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. It wasn't on the stock exchange. It was a couple fives and some singles. And though it may not be a lot to some or a bunch to others, it was still needed to be managed, and I was responsible for what I was about to do with that money. And so if I didn't do what God had asked me to do, I'm accountable. If I do what God asked me to do, I'm still accountable. And so we must understand that what God has given us is from him, and it's my responsibility to manage it according to how he asks me to manage it, and realize that I have a responsibility and an accountability for that, for every single part of that. And it goes back to my talents. It goes back to time management. It goes back to resources and provision. It goes back to finance. It goes back to family and relationships. Am I managing what God has given me properly? Am I managing it in a responsible way? Do I realize that there's an accountability attached to it? See, because when we look at the passage from earlier, we realize that as soon as they got the talents, they went and they responsibly did something with it. Two of them did. They were responsible and accountable to it, because it says two went and doubled it and one hit it. Okay? But then all of a sudden the master came back, right? And when he came back, they all stood before him and they gave an account of what they did with the talents that were given to them. Now, those who took and stewarded and managed it properly, the master was like, well done, good and faithful servant. You had little, you'll gain more. To the one who didn't manage it properly, who just took it and stuffed it in a hole. He's like, you lazily, slothful servant. You didn't manage it properly, even though it was one talent, when the other ones had 2 and 5 talents. Do you see this? Do you see the whole correlation? God is pouring into us. God is giving. God is releasing. God is blessing. Everything comes from God, and everything that comes from God is God's. I'm called to manage it. I have the responsibility to tend to whatever it may be, like the garden, like those types of things in our lives, and I have the, and I will stand accountable for what I do with it. I will stand accountable for what I do with it. But what I love about it is the last part, is the blessing. When we steward and manage the things of God properly, there's blessing. Do you know what my favorite part of church is? Can I tell you my favorite part of church? My favorite part of church is when I get to lead someone to Jesus. That's my favorite part of church. My favorite part of church is when someone says a salvation prayer. My favorite part of church is when someone comes down and I get to pray for them and God moves in such a way and does a supernatural work in them. That's my favorite part. I guess that to me, that's a reward. That's a blessing to me. I physically, nothing out of it. Financially, nothing out of it. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is people's souls. And so the reward to me in church is when someone's healed. Reward to me in church is when the worship team's playing and someone's all by themselves standing over there, hands up in the air, and they begin to cry. And as they cry, their tears begin to bring healing and wholeness. Why? Because our worship team was stewarding the gifts that God gave them to cultivate an atmosphere that was welcoming of the Holy Spirit in the presence of God, that someone didn't have to touch that person, but God's presence was doing a work with that person in their pew where they may be seated. That's exciting. But I love this because in this passage, you know, it says, to whom much is given, you'll get more. And so they were blessed. When we steward the things that God has given us, there's blessing attached to it. There's blessing. There's supernatural blessing. There's natural blessing. There's blessing to it. There's such blessing to it. But we have to understand that. We have to realize that there's that attachment. We have to realize that it's not ours. We have to realize that we're responsible and accountable for what God has given us. And so they said, he's a well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. See, it's attached to being a good steward. It's attached. Sometimes it's hard, though, to release, isn't it? When God's asking us to let go of something. God's asking us to let go of something. I've come to learn that my hands are nothing more than a what do you drain spaghetti in? Someone yell it out. Strainer, thank you. My hands are nothing more than a strainer. Everything that God pours into me, if it needs to stay, it'll stay. If not, it just goes right back out to where it needs to go to. Because I'm just a steward. I'm just a steward of it. But I know as it flows out of me, there's going to be some type of blessing attached to it. Now, you can say, well, how are you blessed? How are you blessed by giving that man your money? Well, honestly, the first thing is, I felt like it made a difference that day. I'm blessed just feeling that way. Is there more to it? If God wants to give me more, I'm open to receive everything that God has for me. But I'm more worried about making sure that I'm doing what God's asked me to do than that whole blessing part. I want the blessing. I'm not saying that. But my first and foremost thing is realizing that I'm a steward and a manager of what God has. And I'm responsible and accountable for it. And when I function under that properly, things happen, right? Things happen. Things happen. Things happen. And sometimes it happens immediately, and sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it happens immediately, and sometimes it takes a while. And that's why sometimes we struggle with our finances. in the tithes and the offerings. Because we may not see an immediate response the way we want to from God releasing into our lives. That's why we struggle with volunteering at church in different ministries in different areas. Because we may not feel the immediate blessing attached to it. Don't let that mindset hold you back from being a good steward. Amen? So I want to pray for you today that you get an understanding that what you have is not yours. This was the hardest one for me to grasp, is that everything that I have is not mine, it's God's. But the minute we realize that, it's so much easier in life. Like if God said, hey, sell your house because I have something I want to do for you, I'm like, call the realtor, let's do this. We'll pray that we're making sure that we're hearing God's voice. We'll, you know, be in agreement with God's word. It's not emotions. If that's what God's calling, let's do it. Let's do this thing. Because apparently he has something big for me. And so we'll do it. I'm not selling my house. Let me clarify that because I'll be on social media today. Pastor selling his house, he's moving somewhere. Pastor's not selling his house, and he's not moving anywhere. Okay, let's clear that up right now. Stop all the emails Monday morning. I'm not going anywhere. But if God asks me to do something like that, hey, I'm all in. I'll do whatever God asks me to do. Because I realize it's not mine, it's just his. And we'll function that way with it. Amen? So I want to pray for you that you understand that, that you understand that we all have a responsibility. You guys can come up, an accountability that's attached to being a good steward. And then I want to pray that as you continue to do that, that there would be great reward, that God would bless you, that he would look at you and say, good, well done, good fellow servant. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Why don't we stand to our feet real quick? Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you and I bless you. I glorify you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we get an understanding of stewardship, godly stewardship, that you would teach us to be good stewards. Father, help us to understand the truth that you own everything, that everything comes from you. You're the creator of the heavens and the earth. The word declares that you own everything in the earth and on the earth, from the gold and the silver. God, you own it all. We're just here managing what you've given us. And we see that example through Adam and Eve in the garden. They were called to be managers, to work alongside with you and for you. Father, I pray that we can understand that importance of ownership, that it's yours, it's not ours. Father, I pray that we take the seriousness of our responsibility of managing that. Father, that we don't take it lightly in any way, shape, or form. That we understand the importance of what you've called us to do. That it's not something that's done as an afterthought. But God, we manage to the best of our ability using every talent and gift that you have given us. Father, I pray that we understand the importance of accountability. That we will be accountable for all that we do, all that we say, how we respond, how we act. But Father, that just goes along with being a good steward. And our accountability is to you, just as our responsibility is to you. Father, I pray that you help us over these next few weeks to be the best stewards that we can be, that we can grow into being all that you've called us to be in that area of stewardship. Father, I thank you for the reward. I thank you for the blessing. I thank you for the blessings that are attached to being faithful, to managing properly, to doing the right thing, even though it may go against the grain, to hearing your voice with great clarity and responding with all that we have and all that we are. Father, I thank you that you see that, and just as the parable talked about, you blessed. Father, we receive that blessing. No more struggle, God. We pray for no more struggle. No more struggle. No more struggle, God. No more struggle in being a good steward. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say this. Sometimes we struggle because we're not good stewards. Sometimes we struggle because we're not good stewards of what God has given us. I know that because I struggled financially for a while because I was a terrible steward. Not terrible, I made a couple wrong decisions, premature, because I wasn't a good steward at the time. There were relationships and friendships that I wasn't a good steward of because I've allowed people this or allowed people that, and it came back. And sometimes we struggle because we're not good stewards. And I don't want you to struggle. Ask God to show you what it is that needs to change or how to be a better steward of what you have, whether it's time, whatever it may be, the resources, the finances, the relationships, the gifts, the dreams and visions that he's spoken to you of what you'll do and what you'll become. Ask him to show you how to be better in those arenas. Ask him to reveal to you if there's any mistakes or wrong thinking or wrong philosophies of how to act and respond to it. Have him reveal it to you so you don't struggle. So you look and say, it is his, no big deal, here. Yeah, it is his, I'm all in, I'm going for it. I'm here to serve. I'm going to do it responsibly and walk knowing there's accountability attached to it. I learned to not look at the blessing part, but look at the serving part as more important, doing what God had asked me to do and wants me to do. And in doing that, oh, the blessings are amazing. Because I flipped it. I didn't look at the blessing. I looked at the blesser. Right? I didn't look at the blessing. I looked at the one who brings the blessing, the blesser. And so I want to encourage you that today. So we're about to receive our offering before we leave. Today is Mission Sunday. Now, we are a part of multiple missions. Today's mission is right there. It's our GTM T-shirts for troops. It's a ministry that deals with wounded soldiers in America. Our men and women, our boys and girls had gone off to fight war, to fight for this country, for safety, but they've been wounded in some way, shape, or form. They come back to the States and they're struggling. And what this ministry does is this ministry goes and it ministers life to these soldiers. You know, it's odd because it may seem odd, but, you know, they take a T-shirt, a superhero T-shirt, because in the eyes of that ministry, as myself and many of us here, they are superheroes to do what they do. But they're hurt. There's things going on. And the T-shirt is an icebreaker, is an introduction to build a relationship where they can walk alongside these soldiers, men and women, and speak life and give life and help them get back to where they need to get. And it's a ministry that works. They have grown, they've expanded, they have built music rooms where they come and they're able to be ministered to through music and through prayer. They go to hospitals, they bring them and they do respites. Jim Peters is the leader of it. He built a place right on his own property, and they come and they have respite weekends with the soldiers and stuff. It's a life-giving ministry. In the wintertime, we do the different soldier packets, the Bibles and the different things. Well, this is another part of it. It's the T-shirts. He was supposed to be here, but because of COVID, he couldn't come. It was right in the middle of the summertime. And so as soon as he's available, he's going to come and he's sharing with churches that support him about this mission. And so we support this. We believe in this. It's life-giving. There's testimonies. You can go to their website. He has a podcast that he talks about different things on. It's a life-giving mission, and we're a part of it. Now, we may not be going to the hospitals. We may not be handing out the T-shirts, but because of your prayers and because of your financial support of it, they're able to continue to bring life. They're actually stewarding what we give them and other ministries give them to do the work of the kingdom through ministering life to our wounded soldiers. And the blessing is amazing. The stories just make you cry with excitement and joy. And so I wanted to highlight that today to know that this is what we support. This is what you're a part of in this church and what we believe in. And so when he can get here, he's going to get here and share firsthand stories and have a table set up and different things. So But I wanted to make you aware of that as this is Mission Sunday, as we're going to pray for our offering. Two quick announcements is that we're going to relaunch Sunday School October 11th. We're going to launch our Sunday School program August 11th. That's what our goal is. But here's the deal. I'm going to be very honest with you. We are really short workers. So if you got a talent and a heart to be a part of that, let me know. We can talk. We need some more workers with it. It's going to be a hybrid version of it right now. I'll be honest with you. You heard me from the platform. It's tough navigating this. We have multiple teachers here today and that attend that aren't with us but attend here. It's a really weird time right now in the school system. The two important things that we do with our Sunday School is we preach the gospel of Jesus uncompromised. It's not an option. The second thing that in what's going on with people getting sick and everything else, that we do it in a safe manner, that the parents feel safe, that their kids can come back there and get what they need to get in the release of the gospel to them. And so that's our goal, is to launch August 11th, a relaunch. And so we're going to continue to roll things out here at the church, okay? So I need your prayers. It's been a journey, but we're getting there. Amen? So let's take our offering and dismiss you guys before it gets too late. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I bless you and honor you. Thank you for your word today there, that you're making us aware of what a steward is, a manager of the gospel, one who understands responsibility and accountability, knowing that whatever we do for you, God, that you shall reward, you shall bless, you shall pour out into our lives and even into the lives of those around us. Because it's not about us and what we can get. It's about doing the work of the kingdom and managing what you've given us. And managing what you've given us even applies to our tithes and offerings. Father, it's finances that have been given to us by the greatest provider known to mankind. And Father, we're called to steward it. We're called to take a portion of it and sow it back into the kingdom and give it back into the church. God, we do that today. And we come before you with an attitude of worship. Father, we come with joy and thanksgiving, saying thank you, God, for what you blessed me with. Thank you for what you have given me and my family. And receive this as worship, as I give it back to you as a good steward. Thank you, God. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for GTM and the T-shirt ministry and the wounded soldiers, Father, that are being touched and lives being transformed by those who are stewarding what you've called them to do as they minister life to our heroes. Father, I pray a blessing upon them and upon that ministry, that it would grow and be financially kept. Father, I pray a blessing upon our offering here this morning, that, Father, it would be multiplied and it would overflow to continue to present the gospel throughout this region. Blessings upon our people who are here today, those who weren't able to be with us, and those who are watching online, Father, bless them. Let the words that you've spoken today about stewardship settle in, and let us become the greatest stewards that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Our offering bowls are on the way out.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Yep.